Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. We're also available on Podbean, so look out for the shows on there, and you can also catch up with some of our previous shows stretching back probably the last couple of years. Just want to wish all of our listeners a happy new year and welcome back to the show again. Just want to say a big thank you as well to all of the presenters and technicians who put extra shifts in and pre-recorded additional shows in December to cover the Christmas holiday period. So thanks to all the rest of the crew at Capital Irish for putting that together and making sure that this show kept going over the January period and back through December as well. So I hope everybody has had a wonderful summer so far and you've all been enjoying the glorious weather that we've had. We just got back from a family holiday in Ireland last week, so I've got my accent is fully recharged, although my voice is probably a bit croaky from picking up a cold somewhere along the way, but here we are again and ready to face 2024. While I was back in Ireland and there was some free time to watch TV, which happens a bit in the evenings of course because it's a bit darker and colder there, sitting by the fire with a cup of tea, watching telly, I think I probably mostly watched TG Cahir over there, and I believe that is a national treasure, that TV station. I don't know if people in Ireland appreciate how much you know, all the work that is done at the TV station, and you know, the broad range of entertainment that's available there. I was enjoying, sometimes they'd have a classic movie on in the mornings. There was also some live sport on. There was a few of the Connacht rugby games were shown on there as well. And I suppose some of the best things that TG Cahir does are the homegrown shows. And I'm thinking of the likes of the documentaries that they do and a lot of the music shows that they do. And sometimes these come together, of course, and we have documentaries about some of our best singers and musicians. And one of the shows that I probably enjoyed catching up on late one night was a show, I think it was done by TG Cahir and through RTE, called Dolores at 70, which focused on singer Dolores Cain. And the show was recorded mostly at the old family cottage in Galway, and Dolores grew up with her aunts in Galway, and it was a great house for singing and for ceilidhs, and a lot of famous singers used to come and sing with her aunts, who were well known in the area. I think her aunts' names were Rita and Sarah Cain as well, and they learned some of their folk songs in there. I suppose to celebrate her 70th year, the show recorded a number of artists who came and joined Dolores and kind of replayed and talked about some of the collaborations they had worked with her over the years. Of course, she's got a very unique singing voice, and you know, it's been, you know, she gets high praise from lots of international acts, and you know, she's toured, she's one of the original members of Dead Allen, I believe, as well. So you know, there's a lot of her family played some of the songs in there. And there was also contributions from some of our kind of better known musicians like Mick Hanley, Tommy Sands, John Faulkner, Frankie Gavin, and Paul Brady as well. So I think maybe today, maybe one of the things that we want to listen to is, I'd like to play one of the songs that she had recorded. In one of the interviews through the show, they talked to Pete Seeger, who was a famous American folk singer and activist, and he wrote a very famous anti-war song called Where Have All the Flowers Gone, and that was recorded by Dolores and Tommy Sands. So let's have a listen to that first. Thank you.
Mother of all the flowers gone, long time passing. Mother of all the flowers gone, long time ago. Mother of all the flowers gone, the young girls picked them. Time passing, over the
Unfortunately, it doesn't seem as if that show is available internationally on the TG Cahir or RTE player. I think if you have the means, you might be able to get around some of the proxy issues. Not that I would promote that sort of thing, but I think it is available still on the RTE player, and it's a great show as well. So what else are we going to talk about here today? So one of the things that I've probably been meaning to look into for a long time but haven't really got around to it was talking about a project that took place in Ireland back in the 1930s. It was run by the Irish government at the time, and it was a folklore project where they tried to collect as many stories from all the different areas around the country. I suppose there was maybe a realization at the time that there was, you know, sort of a changing of the times, and they wanted to capture as much of the folklore and the stories of a lot of rural Ireland as they could, because they were going through a transition. So they sent these books out to all the schools, and the teachers were encouraged to get the students to write down all the stories they heard at home, you know, local myths, local pishrogues or superstitions, and kind of local sayings. And a lot of this obviously, of course, was in Irish. And you know, these books were collected, they were submitted, but one of the most remarkable things, I suppose, of the digital age in recent years is that all of these hard copies were sitting in, you know, whatever, in offices or archives in Dublin for a number of years, but they're still available. And a team have been looking through those archives and looking to digitize them, which is basically transcribing the text and loading it onto their website, which will preserve it for the future generations as well. So I know I've heard other podcasters talking about this resource as well as being a great place to look and reading stories and kind of learning about their own history of their own counties and their own parishes, whatever. So I would strongly recommend everybody who has an interest in old stories and you know, kind of an Ireland long gone, to check out duchas.ie. So that's duchas.ie. It's well worth your while to have a look in there. I completely disappeared down a rabbit hole last night when I was doing a little bit of research for the show. I was trying to, you know, put a few stories together. And I suppose one of the things that triggered this for me as well was maybe about, probably about 30, 35 years ago or so, one of my old teachers from National School, Kathleen Shine, was involved in putting a book together and publishing it in a kind of independent publishers, and it was about our local area. And the book ended up being called Muncher Dunchichon Laurigi Fasta. Dunchichon is a collection of villages in the northwest of Ireland, or northwest of Mayo, where I come from. And in that book, they had taken stories from those collections, and they had published them probably mostly for local interest. But what I hadn't really understood at the time, but I've come to understand in more recent years, was that project was spread nationally, that it was taking place in schools all around the country. So again, I would definitely recommend you have a look at duchas.ie. And as well as all those old stories, what you will also find in there, which I hadn't realized, was a huge archive of photographs from all the different parts of Ireland. So you can search and you can filter by county or by district or even by name if there's somebody you might know who's in there. And it's just fascinating, even for me now, looking back to see houses and what villages looked like back in the 1930s. And as well as that, also there are audio transcriptions, and some of these took place probably in the period of time all the way from the 1930s up to more recent times. And I definitely found some audio recordings of some of the local storytellers from the 1950s, and that was fascinating for me as well. Of course, the sort of the age of the Seanachy kind of died out probably in that sort of early 20th century. It probably survived a bit longer in the more rural spots along the west coast, but you know, there's such a huge reservoir of old Irish history, and all of our old stories that are still in there. And what always fascinates me as well about, you know, as well as locally, but also kind of nationally in Ireland, is how place names got their names, the Loganamnacha. And you know, there's always a good story to go with how all these different locations or parts of a hill or river or sea have got their names. And some of those stories obviously might have died out with some of the old storytellers and the old Shanachy, but of course, because we have some of these transcripts, some of this audio and some of the text written down, those stories will hopefully be available for future generations as well. That's probably enough talking for me for a little while. One thing that I kind of look out for as well is I'm kind of interested in looking back to see what albums were released, you know, like say 20, 30 years ago. And you know, I think for most people, you'll always go back to the kind of music that was around when you're in your sort of more formative years, your sort of kind of late teens or kind of early 20 years. And kind of looking back to see what kind of albums are coming of age this year, and I've realized that one of the Cranberries albums is from 1994, so that's going to be 30 years old this year as well, and their album No Need to Argue was released in 1994, so we're going to have a listen to a song from that album.
Thank you.
That was the Cranberries there with So Cold in Ireland. I suppose a song taken at face value is we can talk about the weather, and of course it was pretty cold there over Christmas. One of the things I did manage to do when I was over there, myself and my oldest daughter and a couple of our cousins climbed Kirkpatrick in that first week of January. The weather was actually quite spectacular for that time of year. It was sunny and it was dry. It was quite cold though. Temperatures were probably just above freezing. But we did it on a cold January Tuesday, I think it was. And I have to say that the temperatures at the top were quite spectacularly cold. There was a pretty decent wind chill up there as well. It was definitely a case of not hanging around the top for too long. But I think the council and probably some volunteers have done some amazing work there in the last few years, because the last time I climbed there, that last maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes at the very top, that sort of a pyramid piece at the top, was quite slippery with a lot of loose stones. But they've kind of constructed a more kind of easy to negotiate, basically steps up to that top for that last section. And actually it's definitely a lot easier of a walk than it was previously. I certainly wouldn't fancy doing it barefoot anymore, but I think there's probably still a few brave souls who might attempt that. But also kind of looking back at the lyrics of that song and some of the lyrics towards the end of the song, when she talks about returning to Ireland and when she's talking about how cold it is, she might not necessarily be talking about the temperature. Definitely did notice that there is a huge backlash in Ireland at the moment, and it's very much directed at the influx of foreigners who've come into the country. And it's most unfortunate, because what we're seeing is that a lot of Irish people are disgruntled, especially with the government. But a lot of it is taken shape by attacks on foreigners, and of course there's a bit of an underground of a right wing movement as well, where there's a very disaffected youth who have lost a lot of opportunities probably over the last decade, similar to New Zealand. Definitely see there's a huge housing crisis over there, definitely a cost of living crisis there also. And I suppose what we're seeing is that a lot of young people, especially who have been disenfranchised, are kind of looking at somebody to blame and somebody to lash out at. And unfortunately, what people tend to do probably through history is to kind of punch down rather than to direct anger at the real people who should be taken into account for this. Because I know that there's going to be a lot of, I think there's been stories in the last couple of weeks about how the Minister of Housing has also been involved in vulture funds in buying up estates and selling them off for huge profit. And of course, again, there's not much opportunity for young people to buy their own homes in Ireland right now. And I know that there's been a huge huge upsurge in the likes of Airbnbs, and it's really expensive to even have to get accommodation in Ireland too. So I think it's very sad kind of going back to Ireland and going back for a visit and seeing that a country that has made such huge progress over the last 10 and 20 years, we've crawled out from the shackles of the church, and we've had huge advances with the likes of divorce referendum, abortion referendum, gay rights, gay marriage rights, and to see a lot of that good work kind of been undone by that undercurrent of feeling that's in Ireland at the moment. It is unfortunate to see. And I also feel as well that, probably the longer I spend in New Zealand and travel back, the more I feel like an outsider heading back to look at this. So, talking to some of the people there and watching some of the news articles and seeing some of the things that's happening, the hotels and houses and areas that have been set up for housing refugees from Ukraine and from other war-torn areas, and seeing those being a lot of protests outside those buildings, and some of them being kind of set fire to, and that it's it is quite sad to see. So definitely hoping that you know, we see a bit of a bit more of kind of common sense coming to just to the whole situation in general, and that there can be, you know, a peaceful resolution. Obviously, there certainly have sympathies with people from overseas coming into Ireland, but recent polls have shown that the voters are very unhappy with how the government have handled this. And I know that there's certainly critics of the large parties, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, who would say that, you know, it's in their best interests for hotels and, you know, and bank managers, and, you know, everyone talks about the brown paper brigade, and you know, there's definitely a long history of cronyism in our Irish political parties. So we do have an election coming up, I think, this year. 2024 is going to be a fascinating year in many democracies, I think, in Western democracies, because, you know, we've seen what's happened here in New Zealand with the kind of change in government towards the end of last year, and a shift to kind of more conservative policies, you know, especially seeing what's happening with Te Reo. It's quite tragic to see, because, you know, as somebody who is, you know, a Gaelgore and an Irish speaker, and seeing the parallels between Irish and Te Reo, and seeing the huge leaps that Te Reo has taken, it is sad to see how that's been attacked by the latest government coalition. So we've got elections coming up this year in Ireland. I think we may have some coming up in the UK as well. And, you know, kind of similar to Ireland, is one of the issues that might take down the UK government is how they're handling the Rwanda refugees and the deal that's been struck there. And I think Sunak has got some explaining to do on that. And of course, we're seeing, you know, with some of the primaries taking place in the US, that Donald Trump is looking highly likely to be the number one, to be the, sorry, the Republican nominee for the presidential election, which will also be taking place, I think, coming up towards the end of this year as well. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff to look out for in 2024, and, you know, we're going to look forward to it with some optimism. I know there are kind of some dark times around right now, but hopefully we can see some, you know, it won't be all doom and gloom. Sorry, didn't mean to end the show on a bit of a downer, but want you to enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Hope you enjoy the rest of the summer, and we'll chat to you again soon. Slán.
You've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.